Well, it's great to be here this morning, and it's good to see everybody. And we want to speak this morning about why you need to read the Bible, why you need to read the Bible. And there's many reasons that we can find, but I want to speak in a very practical way this morning because of the fact that this week on Tuesday night, Bruce Moore and I are going to be starting with anyone else who wants to join us. We're going to be starting a Bible reading group down here in Burien in the Grand Central Bakery. And we're going to be meeting on Tuesday evenings at 5 o'clock in the evening. We were planning to go 6 o'clock, but found out they close at 6 o'clock. So we're going to make it at 5 o'clock. And we're going to be getting together with hopefully trying to reach out to people in the community and try to bring the Bible to the public as far as by the example of getting together reading the Bible. And we've been, this has been recommended to us by the church in Kirkland, where our daughter Molly and her husband Ian attend. And they have three of these groups that are meeting regularly. On Tuesday nights, Ian is part of a group that meets near Amazon, downtown Seattle. So I know firsthand some of the benefits of this, that it has been very effective, it's been very successful with people there, as being able to meet people that are outside from the community. And they have been able to, a young man and his wife, just basically just out of college age, that were more or less atheists, are now Christians as a direct result of just getting together, never having read the Bible. And after sitting there in the group and listening to the Bible being read about the Gospel of John, learning about Jesus, within a few months, they wanted to become Christians. So it's amazing what the reading of the Bible can do in people's lives. Some people have never really heard the Bible and don't really know anything about it. We are praying and hoping, and I'm excited that Bruce is going to be leading this study. When I first talked to Bruce about this, he was gung-ho, and he's been so supportive and is all in, and so he's going to be leading the study. It's really an open reading and encouragement and caring for every person that's part of it, praying together. So it's a very positive, it's a non-threatening. We welcome anyone that wants to join us, and we're going to be reading the Gospel of John. So we'll be reading a passage and then talking about if there are any questions about what we have read and the understanding of it, things like that. And we believe, though, that this is going to be, that God will be with us in this because it is His Word. And one of the scriptures that really encourages us and uplifts us as we think about this in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11 is what God says here. He said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So the principle behind that is that when you send forth the Word of God and just out into the open, that it is going to produce, there is going to be results that will happen, just as if the sower sowing out the seed on the ground, that Jesus spoke about, it will, finding good soil, it will bear fruit. So we are in the confidence of that truth and that principle, wanting to go out into the community, reading the Word of God, letting the Word of God be known and heard. And so this morning I'd like for us to draw our attention for a few moments to the familiar reading, the 8th chapter of Acts. And it's the account here of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, and how this official, an important official from Ethiopia, a distant land from Israel, had come to Jerusalem, and on the way back returning in his chariot was reading from the scripture. And in the process of that, God sent Philip to him, and they began to converse together. And as a result of that, he became converted to Christ. So I'd like for us to think about that as far as the application of that to how it would fit with what we are trying to do here with the reading of Scripture, and why it is important for each one of us to read the Bible, the benefit that comes to us from that. And Karen and I were listening to a sermon really on the radio recently, writing down to her doctor appointment, and the speaker was talking about this, that is saying that there had been a survey or a research, apparently very thorough, and I'd like to know more about it, but it's saying that they are finding that Christian people, among professed Christian people, that among those people who do not make a regular practice in their lives reading the Bible regularly, daily, that they're finding that those people basically in their lives function and make decisions in their lives no different significantly from people who are not professed Christians. And I thought that was a very interesting comment, and I would like to see more of the research that went into it. But I can see how that can be true. That here a person can be a professed Christian, maybe attending worship regularly, but if we do not make it a habit of reading the Bible on a regular basis, that we end up in the way that we function and carry on with our daily life, that it's really no different from the way that the people of the world conduct their lives. And I think a lot of it goes back to the culture that we are living in, that we end up drifting into that way of life very easily. So in Acts chapter 8, I want to begin with the first point being that Bible reading draws true seekers together. And that when people are reading the Bible, that it has a way to attract other people that are interested in the Bible to notice that. And we are able to make connection there with people because the common interest that people see somebody reading the Bible, and they think, oh, this person is reading the Bible, and so we make a connection with that. So in Acts 8 and verse 26 through 29, he said, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot." Well, he noticed when Philip came close enough to be able to hear what the eunuch was reading, he was able to apparently hear that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip, being that he had a prior knowledge of that verse and was able to recognize where this was coming from, was able to then go and join himself with the eunuch, as we will see. But it was the fact that they were reading the scripture
You know, he wasn't reading about the sports. He wasn't reading about the news, the politics. He was reading the Bible.
And it was that drew and made this connection so powerful that caused the result of the change in this man's life. And of course, there's nothing more important than helping someone find the truth and change their life by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. So he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, it's important that as one of the reasons why I think it is very important that we be people who read the Bible regularly is that whenever he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, he immediately recognized that's where he was reading. He would not have been able to do that if he did not have a good knowledge of the Scripture himself. He was familiar. He said, oh, he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. I'm familiar with that. How many of us know the Bible that way? But I'm saying that by reading your Bible on a regular basis, you're going to be able to do that. Somebody is reading their Bible. It might be in the book of James, or it might be in the book of Romans, or it might be somewhere in the Old Testament, and you'll overhear that reading, and you'll say, oh, I know what they're reading, and that I'm familiar with that. And that's a wonderful lesson. That's a great book. And start thinking along the same lines with that. So that was happening here. Here was a man that had been to Jerusalem, you see, to worship God. Now, he was from the Ethiopian country. And as a result of this man, what he was doing actually led to the establishing of the church in Ethiopia. He brought the gospel back to his nation as a result of this encounter that he has here with Philip. But all because he was reading from the Bible. And that's very powerful. Now, years ago, and Greg, I appreciate what you're bringing out in your comment there about a few, what was that, 1953, you said? In the graduation exercises, they were singing a hymn, Worship the King, and other things that showed there was scriptures and thinking of God in that. And today we hear so much that, oh, we can't do that anymore in our society. Well, why not? Why? What has happened to our society that we can't do those things? That is an unwelcome thing to do. So something has changed, something has drifted away here in our own society to cause that to happen. But here was a man who was sitting here in his chariot riding along, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. So the Bible has the ability to draw people together who have a common interest of a sincere heart seeking after God. And I think that is a very good thing that we can be involved with reading the Bible in a public way that is non-confrontational, that it can draw people in who are interested in the Word of God. And the second thing is that we see that it provides the opportunity to help the other person better understand the Scripture. Because as it points out here, Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Well, I'm sure that one of the reasons that people would give today that why they don't read the Bible more is that they don't get anything out of it. Or they might say, I don't understand when I read the Bible. And that's a common comment, I think, that experience that people maybe have. And it discourages them. They feel like, well, I can't understand the Bible even if I do read it. Well, that's not true. We can understand the Bible, and the more we read it, the better we will understand it. But when someone is reading the Bible like this, it will be an opportunity to bring out, well, I'm not sure that I understand this. And someone else, if we are there together, we can offer and say, well, here's what I understand from that, and we can help them to better understand the Bible. So that it begins to come together. And I think that is what the experience of this young atheist couple that I was mentioning, that they didn't even think they believed in God. And they started reading the Bible with a group of people, and within a few months of doing this, they not only are believing in God, they want to become a Christian. Well, because now they begin to understand. It begins to come together and it comes into focus, and they can see, I understand, I get it. I understand what this is saying. Philip went up to the eunuch here and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" This points out that sometimes people need help in understanding what the Bible says. Even though they're reading it, it's not making sense. Something is confusing to them. All right, so the third thing that we then see here in Philip, and I'm having a problem here with my... Oh, I see what it is. Third thing is that all Scripture ultimately leads to Jesus. Well, he's reading from the book of Isaiah here, and that was such a perfect Scripture for him to begin with. It said the place in the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other?" So he had this question about it, and it was a very natural question. But you can see that he was reading it, he was seeing what the flow of the thought he was understanding, but he got to this point. He said, "Who is he? Is he speaking about himself here, or is he speaking about someone else?" Well, Philip, beginning from this scripture, preached to him Jesus. So we find here that the reading of the scripture, no matter where it is, really, every scripture in the Bible leads to Jesus in one way or another. That if you follow the message of the Bible, even other books of the Old Testament, it is there to lead us to Jesus. This one was a perfect setup, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who laid down his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And that's the whole point in the message that Isaiah is giving here in Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. You remember when Jesus was put on trial before Pontius Pilate, and they were making the accusations against him, and they were saying, "Are you the Son of God or not?" And Jesus remained silent, just as the prophecy said. But it said, "His life is taken away from the earth." Here was an innocent sheep, an innocent lamb that was led to the slaughter. What is that referring to? Why is that in the Old Testament? So it says there that Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" So then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So here was an encounter that they had, and whether Philip ever saw him again, we don't know. But it changed his life. And the time that was invested here to explaining the scripture to him, it changed this man's life. And many believe, as I said, that he took back to Ethiopia, and that was the beginning of the church and Christianity coming into the land of Ethiopia. Fourth point, though, that I wanted to say here is that reading the Bible, it first benefits us, then it benefits others. And it has to be in that order when you think about it, because if we are not people who read the Bible regularly because we love the Word of God, and we read the Bible not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of joy, and wanting to be in the Word of God because we love God and want to know His will. If we do not have that as a part of our life experience, then how can we share it with others effectively? So it benefits us first, reading the Bible. Why do you need to read the Bible? And one of the first things that people will say is, but I don't have time to do it. I'm so busy. I get up in the morning, I have to go to work, I have so many other things. And it's a common thing that we begin to justify and think in our mind that we can't find time to read the Bible. But there's so many benefits to reading the Bible. And it's the way, it's the avenue, how we're going to reach other people, is my point. And by being a people who read the Bible ourselves regularly, then we can help other people come to understand and attract the interest in them of the Bible and the importance that it is to point us and help us see how to be saved. Well, the first thing that the Bible says, and I'm going to go through these very quickly, is that it makes you wise for salvation. And this was a statement that Paul made to Timothy when he was talking with him about the fact that all Scripture is inspired and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. But he said, you have known the Scriptures from the time you were a child that are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, it grows your relationship with God. Being able to read our Bible regularly, and one of the greatest benefits, it grows your relationship with God in your life. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, think about this verse, that whenever the apostles were in the temple and they spoke up about Jesus, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. They were not educated men. And we do not need to be educated men in the worldly way to be able to know the Scripture and to be confident of that. And that was the thing that they noticed about the apostles. They were amazed by this, how they had been so untrained men and yet so knowledgeable that it was obvious they had been spending time with Jesus. We can have that same confidence, I'm saying, in our relationship with God. And that's going to be far more beneficial than anything else to helping reach other people with Christ. And it helps you to fight temptation in your life. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the psalmist there says, how shall a young man keep himself from sin in his life? He said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it will help us to fight temptation. And it provides revival, wisdom, and joy in life. reading the Bible will do this, and nothing else has the ability the Bible has to renew our soul, to give us wisdom, to give us joy, to just give us a new attitude of life. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, renewing the soul, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The reading of the Bible will transform us, and it nourishes our soul. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. So I'm not going to read all of these. And it produces powerful godly results of the seed being planted, the fruit that comes forth in the hearts of good people. He said the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. Luke 8 and verse 11. And finally, it is foundational truth for your life. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The benefits of reading the Bible are so many, and that's just a few. The Bible speaks of it over and over again. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's the food for our spiritual needs and nourishment of our life that we need. So why do we need to read the Bible? But I want to ask you to be praying for us as we try to begin this week, and that God will bless and bring others to us in contact, that we will have the opportunity to meet new people and be able to connect together reading the Bible. So thank you for your attention this morning, and we're going to close by singing the song of invitation that's been selected. And we hope that, like the eunuch who, hearing about Jesus Christ, his first question, what must I do to be saved? Or, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And if that is your desire this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing